If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Bayshaw 2, and then you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch, the Week 12 waiver wire edition of the show. I'm Alex Dunlap here with the Trash Man. Trash Man, let's just get into it because you've gotten the waiver wire cheat sheet ready for our pro members at rosterwatch.com, where they can look and see all of your recommendations and what they should be spending as far as their free agent acquisition budget. And I didn't have that many issues with what you had put together this week. I think the guys at the very top as far as the running back position are going to be Emmanuel Wilson in Green Bay, Kenneth Gainwell in Pittsburgh, Sean Tucker in Tampa Bay, and some people might say Bashaul Tuten in Jacksonville. I'm not sure about that. We'll talk about it here in a minute, but first I just want to preface the conversation by saying that it's going to be really unique to what you need to happen to make your fantasy football playoffs, right? If you're a team that needs a win this week and you've just been in you've been in running back hell, and say you drafted Isaiah Pacheco as your RB2 and you've been managing to get by with, you know, Kamani Vidal or something like that, who now this week is going on bye. Or maybe you were just so happy to get RJ Harvey in or something like that. Now he's on bye, and you got to have somebody at running back this week. It feels to me like a good week for that, to where you're going to want to spend up relatively. I don't think this is a big spend week, but I'm not sure that some of these guys that we're going to be talking about are, you know, guys that if you're a 8-3 team, 7-4 team, 9-2 team, you're going to be wanting to go out and get right now at running back. If I'm on those teams, I want to go out and pick up the guys who are going to be dropped here in this series of transactions by the teams that are scrambling to pick up guys who are having to drop their handcuffs, who are having to drop their, their Brian Robinsons, these types of players. Those are the guys that I want to be picking up this week. The Tyler Algiers, if they get dropped, those types, right? But yeah. There are some players this week, and I think that's mainly Emmanuel Wilson, Kenneth Gainwell, Sean Tucker, possibly to some degree. And then with Bashaul Tuten, I just think with him, even though we saw a good workload from him, it was like it happened not the week after the bye, but the week after the first week back, that we saw a general kind of change in usage for Bashaul Tuten, to where it's looking like he's kind of becoming maybe more of the 1B. Travis Etienne had a great game.
He had a great game, and that's one reason why I didn't boost Tuten that high, in addition to the potentially high ankle strain.
He could have a high ankle sprain, and right, people are going nuts. Like, we're not even sure he's going to play, right? I do think that if you're prioritizing guys for this week, I tend to prefer Emmanuel Wilson over Kenneth Gainwell. I would say this. They say that Josh Jacobs avoided major injury, but they did designate him as week to week. Whenever I hear week to week, I think about probably a guy that's going to miss a week, right? Whereas with Jalen Warren this last week, and of course that corresponds with the Kenneth Gainwell pickup. Mm-hmm. With Jalen Warren, that was one I was watching closely because, as our premium members will know, I had put in the prop, one of my props this week, which thank God you guys did well because mine were terrible. But to no fault of my own, I can't blame myself because Jalen Warren was going to smash 73.5 rushing yards as far as the over, but he was at 62 whenever he got hurt. And I was watching this thing closely, and Jaylen Warren, he said after the game, I could have come back in the game, but Trash Man, he came back in the game for at least one snap that I saw him. Yeah. Where I was like, oh, okay, well, we might get the run out here that we need. I'm not sure that Jaylen Warren is going to be missing this week's upcoming game. And
well, we're not sure about any of these guys.
Right. Well, but see the thing is that they get the Bears.
Yeah.
And now it's not at home, it's at Chicago, but if Kenneth Gainwell is getting to go against the Bears this week, he's the bell cow, which he is whenever Jaylen Warren goes out. They're not going to trust Caleb Johnson, especially now with you have Aaron Rodgers who's still up in the air. He's not going to practice on Wednesday. But if it's Aaron Rodgers out there and he's got a busted left wrist, they're not going to put Caleb Johnson back there because of his pass protection stuff.
Yeah.
So it's going to be and they just haven't anyway. We've seen him smash. Do you remember the game in England or whatever, whenever mm-hmm. he got the free run? He's had a couple of these big games, had a really, really big game this last week. That would be the pickup. I get the idea that Warren's going to play and that Josh Jacobs might not play. But I'm curious to hear I would not mind putting Kenneth Gainwell above Emmanuel Wilson if you have a strong feeling one way or the other.
I mean, I don't. I mean, I do agree that it seems like Jacobs has a more diminished chance of playing than Jaylen Warren. And then compare that to Sean Tucker too. You know, Bucky Irving, we don't know if he's going to be back this week. Maybe they don't hurry him back because Sean Tucker had such a good game.
I mean, what was it? It was like a 30, it was like a 33 burger or something that he put up.
Yeah, it was something.
It was amazing, dude. I would say as Tuesday goes on, if you guys can just keep grinding the injury news and just see if there's anything that comes out with it. It's why I really wish that, that all waivers would go through on Wednesdays. And I know that they do in a lot of your leagues, but we have to do these on Tuesdays because so many people play in Yahoo leagues. And the Yahoo settings that your commissioner can easily change, and he should next year, should make these things run on Wednesdays after the initial injury reports come out. Like, they really should. But it's a pickle at the top. I would say if you have the needs this week, put in claims for both, right? And hopefully you can get one. You can see our free agent acquisition budget advice on the waiver wire cheat sheet that Trash Man has so kindly put together for you this week. Trash Man, are you picking up these guys? Like, if you're going to pick up one and you're on a winning team, which one do you think has the most, like, long-term, maybe flex appeal? Is it Sean Tucker? Did he show enough in this last week to where maybe he's just going to continue to get, some amount of the work here, even once Bucky comes back?
I mean, he seems like the best bet of that group. I mean, Kenneth Gainwell, I mean, he's been in the league for a long time. We kind of know what we have in him. Emmanuel Wilson, it doesn't look like he's going to supplant Josh Jacobs at all if he's there. I mean, Bucky Irving and Sean Tucker, I think it's the closest probably competition of that group.
Well, what I keep saying about the Sean Tucker thing, what I keep coming around to is if this thing delves into some kind of nasty committee, at least for the first couple of weeks that Bucky's back, where it's like, 40-40-20 or something like that. Well, I mean, Sean Tucker was able to get two targets, 21 touches for 140 yards and three touchdowns on only 44% of snaps last week. It wasn't like he was a full-time player whenever we saw him go haywire.
Well, and if you look at the schedules for the remainder of the season, the Buccaneers have by far – the best schedule moving forward for running backs.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely a worthwhile consideration too. But if it's just for the 1 week, if we got word that like Warren is going to be, what would you like, let's just say we get through the week and Warren is a DMP limited coming into the Bears game. and say we project the opportunity share to maybe be 55-45 in favor of Gainwell. Like, we're getting reports that Gainwell is going to be much more heavily involved this week. They're going to take a hot hand approach, and they're going to ease Jaylen Warren back in, and he's going against Chicago. At that point, what do you? I mean, don't you have to make Kenneth Gainwell probably a top 24 running back when we're putting in our rankings?
Yeah, I mean, he'll be up there for sure. But as it stands right now, I feel like Wilson and Tucker are better bets to get the bulk of carries this week, just with the news that we have.
Okay.
Moment.
It's so, like we said, it's a good waiver wire. I wouldn't call it a great one, especially if you need immediate help, but it's still, as of this recording, just a little bit nebulous and murky about, you know, what we can exactly expect with these players, whether they're going to return, and if they do return, what level of health they're going to be, and if there is going to be a hot hand approach, easing guys in, et cetera, et cetera. I think you need to continue just like making sure that guys like Tyler Algier are rostered. I keep on mentioning it, but Brian Robinson is somebody that I'm just very interested in rostering. It feels like Christian McCaffrey is just going to run the whole slalom here and get this thing done. He just keeps on taking on massive volume, 20 touches again this last – was it 20 touches? I think it was 20. It's just you look at it, you're just like, man, it's so wild. No, I'm sorry, 18 touches on this last week. 120, gosh, 120.
I mean, and Robinson still would have had like eight or nine touches. I mean, it's similar to what he's had these past few weeks. He just didn't get the – he just didn't get the touchdown.
Yeah, and I think honestly, man, I'm not sure if he's like whenever he gets in there, I think he looks pretty juiced up and good. So he's not going to be McCaffrey if McCaffrey goes down, but if he's 70% McCaffrey, that would be a league winner for you, adding it into your flex if anything were to happen to the guy, which we certainly don't hope for. All right, any other running backs you kind of wanted to touch on? What are you going to do about Bashaul Tootin? Is he worth? Maybe he's the one guy that you could pick up if you're a kind of a winning team and just say like, hey, look, if he's got a hurt ankle, that's fine. They were starting to work him back in. Like, maybe he could be ascending.
You know, for me, it's Jaleel McLaughlin.
You're really going to do that for real?
Just look at his usage this past week. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, like J.K. Dobbins isn't returned this season. And I don't know that Harvey is going to be like a bell cow back.
Well, yeah, but Jaleel McLaughlin, what did he play? Like 13% of snaps? I know he got 7 touches, but I mean, and I know he got a touchdown.
To me, it just seems like there's a possibility that he gets, you know, that it's a split backfield, at, you know, to some degree for the rest of the season.
I was actually somewhat surprised to see that Tyler Bede was kind of – he wasn't really – both of the – so, all right, Jaleel McLaughlin, 13% of snaps. Tyler Bede, 13% of snaps. They both got one target, but Jaleel McLaughlin got the 14 yards only on 7 total touches, but he did score the touchdown. You know, R.J. Harvey, I wouldn't panic on him yet if you have him.
It's not a panic. It's more. I'm just saying,
60% of snaps. It's kind of more than I thought.
I'm just saying, if there's something that's kind of not wide open, but more open for one of these guys, it seems like that's the situation there.
R.J. Harvey caught all of his targets, got over that 19.5 receiving yards that we were certainly hoping for our prop bets, barely by the hair of our chinny chin chins. Trash man. Do we have anybody else at running back that you want to highlight that just is important to you, or maybe?
I mean, Ollie Gordon maybe deserves some consideration. It seems like the winning combination for the Dolphins might include like a heavy dose of the run game, and if that is the case, you know, Ollie Gordon, you know, based on this last game in which they won, could be, you know, considerable portion of that running game moving forward.
All right, let's talk about the and again, we have listed here what 24 different running backs. So if your league's deeper, you know, just make sure and check out the waiver wire cheat sheet, rosterwatch.com. It's the best way to support your boys here. okay, at wide receiver, at the very top here, I think you have the guys at the very top who are the most obvious. I think that one guy that everybody's going to probably go after, though, is Darnell Mooney. You don't have him listed very high up here on the sheet. I'm totally fine with it.
Look at what he's done. He's very he has had the opportunity.
Yeah, he's very hard to trust. And we've seen that Kirk Cousins now is just totally cooked. Michael Penix, who knows how long he's out for. Drake London, we know, is week to week, and that's why the Darnell Mooney stuff comes up. He becomes the de facto number one receiving option. I begin to think to myself, though, when people tell me that, I'm like, how do we know that Bijan doesn't become it or that Kyle Pitts doesn't become it?
Right. In the fallout, I said the biggest beneficiary might be Tyler Algier, and just, you know, they just might run the hell out of the ball with Robinson and Algier moving forward.
Yeah. But the guys who I think are kind of in a class of their own here are Christian Watson, for sure. And then you have Michael Wilson above Alec Pierce. And look, I get it. Whatever it was. How many targets did he have?
He had like 170 yards.
No, he had 185 receiving yards.
Yeah.
I forgot what the target number was. The target number was 18 targets.
I mean, if Harrison doesn't come back,
he's going to be back, though. That's the thing. And they're likely going to get Zay Jones back. Trash Man, they had guys out there. I mean, this game wasn't just a Michael Wilson monster. It was
Greg Dortch had a great game.
It was a Greg Dortch monster. The people that use the DFS cheat sheets at rosterwatch.com had to have felt really, really – like if you wanted to get in this last weekend – now, it didn't work out, right? But if you wanted to get in Jamar Chase and JSN, like the big dogs, and also play like a Jaylen Warren team, which didn't work out, like even with Jaylen Warren flopping, and RJ Harvey was in that lineup and he flopped, and Jamar Chase was in that lineup and he flopped. If you just had Jacoby Brissett, Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, Trey McBride. You didn't just cash all your cash games. You were like 4Xing in tournaments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just a wild print fest for the Cardinals. I don't see it happening again. I feel like we've known Michael Wilson for as long we've just known him.
Oh, we love my. I mean, like, he was a Senior Bowl favorite. Like,
I understand it, but I totally understand it. But here's the thing: 15 catches. I think that's more than double the catches. That's like, what's the most catches that Marvin Harrison's ever had? I think it's only like 7 or 8 catches.
Mm.
You know, like I don't think it's unless the whole framework of the offense.
They do have a new quarterback, I guess, you know, arguably.
Maybe. No. So wait, the most catches he's had. So in all of 2024, his most catches was 6. In all of 2025, Trash Man, that reception total was more than double what Marvin Harrison's had his whole time in Arizona. It's like that. It just doesn't feel like the offense is built to funnel that kind of volume to even their number one weapon, which Michael Wilson was. But it's just that Jacoby Brissett dropped back, 58?
I'd argue that Trey McBride's their number one weapon.
Okay. The number one perimeter weapon.
Yeah.
It's just I don't think it's repeatable.
I mean, I just don't know how you get a player produced like that and not
use him more.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It feels kind of like this was all circumstance, right? It was a game where they're just kind of I don't know.
I would feel okay about dropping him to like where Darnell Mooney is.
I think you're fine to pick him up. I just like, here's the thing. I've never liked talk about a guy that we didn't like at the Senior Bowl, but you can't deny what he's done this year and with his air yard share and stuff. It's Alec Pierce. And I don't think he would be on waivers right now in a lot of leagues if they weren't coming off of their bye week. I think he needs to be on rosters.
No, for sure.
I
could say the same for Trey Tucker. You know, Kayshon Booty, who are all right there too.
All right. So make sure and get a look at those guys. And then also.
Oh, and then also Andre Yoshivas.
Yeah. Because it looks like Jamar Chase is going to get caught up in the whole Spitgate thing.
No, he's been suspended.
Well, but he's appealing. But that's just the Ja'Marr Chase dynasty of owner and all these leagues in me just crossing my fingers. I mean, the fact is he's probably not going to play. You know, he's been suspended for spitting. Was that on Jalen Ramsey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. And then, I wanted to toss in Luther Burden. Just a little bit of an uptick as far as routes and stuff this last week. And you never know. It's like, I know it's, you, we can't, I mean, I'm not going
to. Then we have to toss in Jaden Higgins and Xavier Legette too. I mean.
Well, no, because Jaden, you can toss in Jaden Higgins because he was a round two draft guy too. Jaden Higgins famously was the first of the round two players this year for a team to fully guarantee their rookie contract. And it made all the other round two players sit out until they got their stuff guaranteed. I mean, the Houston Texans obviously like him. And yeah, this last week for Jaden Higgins, certainly probably by the eyeball test, the most encouraging week I've seen out of him. 7 targets. He got to play 61% of snaps. Finally was able to outsnap Xavier Hutchinson. Hutchinson had 5 targets in that game too. If he continues to get kind of petered out, we might see Jaden Higgins be one of these double digits, but approaching double digit targets, which was what our most optimistic hopes were coming into this rookie season, right? And now is about the time in these players' rookie seasons, especially with these wide receivers, that they can tend to come on and teams really want to see what they have in their young players. And man, Luther Burden, I think, is a hard guy to keep off the field. Jaden Higgins could be working his way up into that same kind of rookie thing. I think they know exactly what they have in Xavier Legette. And this was just a game where everybody went off. I mean, what did Bryce Young score in fantasy? He had to be the top fantasy option.
I mean, this is the best game of his career, but I'm, you know, and it wasn't everybody. I mean, it was pretty much
Legette and Tevin.
And Legette.
And Tommy Trimble with the most angry. Maybe he didn't. Maybe Trimble didn't have too good a stat line, but boy, did he have a couple of just awesome, awesome plays. That stiff arm of his was off. Yeah, he only had 2 targets and 1 catch, but that 1 catch was fantastic for 54 yards. Tight ends. I like that you had Juwan Johnson at the top. Another one of these guys who shouldn't be on waivers, but he is because he's coming off bye. He's the number 2 target there.
Yeah. Well, and then
you guys can look at the sheet. Do you know what I would be doing right now?
I'd be adding Noah Fant.
No, I'd be with no Ja'Marr Chase. I'd be adding Darren Waller.
Okay,
I added him onto the sheet, not at the very top, but I think around the same place of where, like, you know, where you can just add on these guys that are like I put him right around Colston Loveland. Just somebody you can put him on. I mean, we don't know. He should be after the bye week. He should be scheduled to be eligible to come off of IR. Mm-hmm. So probably not too many people are thinking about Darren Waller right now. But what, in the 3 games he played, I think he scored in every single one. And we know that they can. You know, they've shown that they know how to use him. And for some reason, the Miami offense not looking as dreadful. Like, they're not looking like as terrible an operation ever since they fired Chris Greer. Not that Chris Greer has any effect on what they do from week to week with their coaching, but I don't know. Just it kind of correlates with that, I guess, to some degree. All right. And then for quarterback, you guys can go look at it. Hopefully you have your quarterback stuff figured out. But I think that after this last week of Jacoby Brissett, they're not going back to Kyler. And I think he probably, you know, for teams that are really quarterback needy, go get him. Oh, wait, how owned is Brock Purdy? Does he need to be on this list? He would be at the top of my list with San Francisco's upcoming schedule. Is he less than
66%?
He's 66?
Yeah.
If Brock Purdy's out there, go and get him. And if you need a reason why, just go look at their upcoming schedule and look what he's able to do in his first game back. He was certainly just if you were able to pick him up last week, whenever it looked like Mac Jones was going to play early in the week, that was an excellent pickup. And hopefully you started him, got your 20 or so points, and I think you can have a fantasy starter from here on out.
Yeah.
All right, Trash Man. The most important part of the show, if you're going to be picking these guys up, can you drop these guys? And I only go with these with people who have asked questions on the site or on X, or that have asked me on my personal X, or that have talked to me in my life or in text chains and stuff like that. Like, can you drop them? So I'm not saying you should drop these guys, but I'm asking Trash Man, can you drop these players? You ready, Trash Man?
Yeah, let's do it.
Can you drop Jacoy Crosky-Merritt?
Yeah.
Can you drop Nick Chubb?
Yeah.
Can you drop Tez?
Yeah.
Can you drop Harold Fannin?
No.
He hasn't been great. And Shedeur Sanders might be the quarterback now. He doesn't look great. I think you could drop Harold Fannin for Juwan Johnson.
For Juwan Johnson, sure. I mean, but he's still – I mean, he hadn't done great, but he's still averaging 6 targets over these last 3 games.
Rashid Shaheed.
Oh, no.
No? Again, okay. Somebody asked, Jaden Daniels. That one's making Trash Man's eye twitch. the thought of this one.
I wouldn't.
I don't think I would either. It's on his non-throwing arm.
Yeah.
This is where it gets tough, man. Can you drop Kyle Manungai, even though he had a touchdown?
I'm not dropping him yet.
Ramondre Stevenson, now that Travion Henderson's completely broken out.
No, because we've seen him trade places several times this season, it feels like.
Kamani Vidal, who's going on to bye week.
No.
Got hurt last game. And they said it was a thigh bruise. They said it was a thigh. They're thinking about it's probably a thigh contusion. He's probably going to be fine coming back. But when he comes back, he might have a backfield made in Omarion Hampton. But we don't know yet. But
we don't know. I think it's too soon.
Can you drop Tony Pollard?
Yeah. There's not enough upside there for me.
Okay. Buck Irving might be coming back. The emergence of Sean Tucker. Somebody asked, man, can you drop Rashad White?
Yeah.
This is Anthony Richardson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
This is AJ Brown, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
This is Josh Allen, and you're listening to Roster Watch.